Let me invite you to open your copy of God's Word this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I will read four verses, beginning verse number 23. 1 Corinthians 11. Would you stand together, please, those that are able and willing for the reading of God's Holy Word. 1 Corinthians 11, 23, the Apostle Paul says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Father, thank you this morning that we can remember. We can give you glory and praise today because of your great love that you expressed toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Lord, I pray that we would be sensitive to the ministry of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your presence with us already. May we respond to you today in faith and obedience. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. When I was growing up, I've shared with you before that both of my parents are from Clay County. My dad grew up in a little community called Cragford. And my mother grew up on the other end of the county, Barfield. And quite often, we would be visiting my grandparents on the weekend. My mother was one of seven, and they had a way of coming together, not just at Thanksgiving and Christmas, but quite often. We'd all My grandparents had a little two-bedroom home, and I don't know how in the world they raised seven children in that two-bedroom home, but when you pile all the grandchildren, well, I know how I slept. I slept on a pallet. Any of y'all know anything about pallets? Yeah. And you're probably not interested in this, but we didn't have indoor plumbing. So it was interesting as I think back and reflect on those special. I remember those special times. But it was different back then than it is now. Back then, when it came mealtime, the adults ate lunch while the kids played in the yard. And then when they finished, the children would come in and we'd be able to eat what was left over. I'll assure you there was always plenty. But what I remember about that is we'd be in the yard playing football, whatever. And my grandmother would come to the door and say, "Come to the table." And we knew what that meant. But we also knew before we came to the table, something else needed to happen. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Do not come to the table with dirty hands. That is not a good thing to do. And so we'd wash our hands in a basin, and then we would come to the table. Just a few minutes, we're going to come to the table. We're not going to all gather around the table, but emotionally, spiritually, we are going to gather at our Lord's table. And we do this as His invitation. We are invited to come. Now, I have just developed many years ago a pattern when we observe the Lord's Supper, that becomes the focus of everything else that I do. It's not an add-on. It's not a tag-on at the end of the service. This is the thrust of the service. But I do want to share just a couple of observations about the table, about the Lord's Supper. One is, at the Lord's Supper, we remember that our victory in Christ goes to the cross. Our victory is in the cross. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians 6:14, "God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." I'm reminded of that hymn that says, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling." You see, the reality is that the cross is the central theme of the Bible. Without the cross, you have nothing. But the beauty of the cross is that it gives us an invitation, an open invitation, that whosoever will the Apostle Paul said in Romans, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Aren't you grateful for that? It's not for the high and mighty, it's not for the elite, it's whosoever will. You're part of that. And we're very thankful for that. See, He took our filthy rags so we could be afforded opportunities that only the grace of God could provide for us. So what's our response? Our response is to accept His love, accept His gift, and accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. And then when we meet Jesus at the foot of the cross, our sins are washed away, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There is no symbol or theme that's more powerful in the life of the believer than Calvary's cross. Jesus loved us so very, very much that He sent His only Son to die in our place. I think about Galatians 2:20, where Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. What do you see there? Paul says, I'm crucified. There's the cross. There's the death. Nevertheless, I live. What is that? There's the resurrection. And so you got the death and the resurrection, and Paul continues by saying, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. There's the power of the Spirit-filled life we were talking about last Sunday. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So this morning we're reminded of our victory in Christ. It's found at the cross. We sang about that at Brother John Stevenson's funeral. Victory in Jesus. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. Thank God for the victory in Jesus. The victory that's found in the cross. But not only do we see the victory in Christ, but the value of the church. And we're living in a time where a lot of people don't seem to value the church very highly. Church ought to be full this morning. If just the members of Hillaby Baptist Church were here today, you wouldn't be able to get them all in this church. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? We went to the dance recital yesterday. In fact, I went twice. Yeah, it was twice as good, too. But I was taken by those young ladies and the obvious discipline and practice and everything that they had put into the excellent presentations. But I looked, last night I was sitting toward the back and I looked at the crowd. That place was full. And I really wanted to stand up and say, how many of y'all going to be in church in the morning? See, I'm concerned that the church is not valued the way that reflects that Jesus loved the church and gave himself for the church. Jesus died for you. He died for the church. And Paul, when he writes to the Corinthians, and he talks about Jesus sitting around the table with the disciples. He quotes Jesus. Let me tell you, Paul was not there. Paul was not in that room when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. Paul was a religious zealot. He was a very religious man, very learned man, but a very lost man. And he was persecuting the church when this happened. And then Acts chapter 8 tells us that on his way to bring further havoc against the church, Jesus revealed himself to Saul of Tarsus and radically changed his life. And he was no longer Saul of Tarsus. He's now Paul the Apostle. The Apostle Paul that described himself as a man that was unworthy to be an apostle, that he was one born out of due time. He became a Christian later than this. And yet when the Spirit of God pressed upon Paul to write to the church at Corinth, he included this. He had heard it from some of the other apostles. You see, the church at Corinth was a fractured church. They were having challenges. Some had personal preferences, and others didn't have those same personal preferences. Some had sin in their life, and they couldn't be confronted for their sins because they knew that those that confronted them for their sins had their own sin to deal with. There was sin in the camp that needed to be dealt with. So what does Paul say? He said, the Lord's table is the place where we center ourselves as a church, where we come back. You see, we have communion. What is communion? It has to do with community, togetherness. We're all together. So when we have the Lord's Supper, it's a time for us to do inner reflection and make sure that we are one in the bond of love, that we are together. Let me give you one other verse. The next chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, Paul says, for by one Spirit you are all baptized into one body. One Spirit. He says you're all baptized. Every one of you are baptized. But you're not baptized in a scattered way. You're baptized by one Spirit, and you're baptized into one body. So when we come to Calvary, we're reminded of the victory that we have in the cross in Jesus Christ, and we're reminded of the value of the church, that Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it. It's at Calvary that we find regeneration, there's salvation in none other than Christ. At Calvary we find regeneration, we find restoration. We all find times in our lives when we have wandered. And it's a time like today when we find restoration. We come back. We find ourselves renewed. And it's at this time today where we find refreshment for our soul. So I don't know where you are this morning. We're about to sing our hymn of invitation, Have You Been to Calvary? How long has it been since you've been to Calvary? If there's a need for salvation for your life today, we invite you to come. Receive Christ as your Savior. You may have already received Christ as your Savior, but never publicly profess your faith in Christ. This is your opportunity. You may already be saved, and you've already done, you've been baptized. Well, maybe this is the time for restoration for you. Come to the altar right where you are. What the Spirit of God will lead you to do, the invitation is always, is you be obedient. You be obedient to the voice of the Spirit of God. Would you stand together with us? Father, thank you. Thank you for the cross. And for all that it means. In Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Jerry, lead us.